Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stand up on your feet. Let's come to True North. This is the anatomical alignment that makes you an anatomical antenna for all of the blessings and the gifts that the cosmos has to offer you, that God designed for you. So first, come to your feet, lift and spread your toes inside your shoes, press down into the ball of your feet. Do you feel the ball of your feet? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now feel your heels. Do you feel your heels?
Yes.
Your inner heel down, your outer heel back. All right, now feel for your hips. Bring your hips into alignment over your heels, which means you may have to shift forward or back. Now your belly, engage your belly by tucking your belly button in. Shoulders lift up like a C, back and forward. Your shoulders are in alignment over your hips. Your hips in alignment over your heels. Broaden your chest just a tinch. As my great-grandmother used to say, chin slightly lifted. Inhale in through your nose. Out through your nose. In through your nose. Sigh it out through your mouth. Ah, but throw that tongue out a little bit. In through your nose. Sigh it out. Ah. Be seated in True North. Shoulders over your hips. Energized and ready for possibility. Full disclosure, this is the last sermon I will preach as the pastor of the Awakenings Movement. As of today, Tia, of course we've been talking about it for months, but as of today, Tia is the pastor of the Awakenings Movement. So afterwards, we'll pray for Tia and bless her to continue what we've started. And also, Jotina and KG are going to be invited to be truth communicators.
Yes.
Right? And so next week, they'll be blessed in that. And then there's one other truth communicator who's going to be also invited to share, and we're working on that one, working on that last one. I want to honor my teacher, Joshua. Thank you for authentically living your life and encouraging me to do the same. I love you. I used to teach Joshua when he was in the third grade, and he evolved and became like this super duper yogi whose heels don't touch the ground. I just want you to know Joshua floats. And I met him when we were both grown men, and he gave me a 100 rupee bill. You guys remember that story I told you? Well, I was considering becoming a yoga teacher when Joshua, I saw him hanging out with another friend of ours, and we were laughing and talking, and he told me the story of how a yogi walked into this space where he was, and he recognized this yogi had this centeredness, this groundedness, and he and the yogi started talking, and he had an inclination to become a yoga teacher, and the yogi then pulled out a 100 rupee dollar bill, maybe, 100 rupee bill, 100 rupee bill. We always just want to colonize everything. 100 rupee dollar bill. And she pulled out the currency and gave it to him and said, let this be what you use to begin your journey to travel to India to become a yoga teacher. And so while we were sitting there talking about my desire to do the same, he pulled out that same bill that had been given to him And he gave it to me with the same words. He said, use this to go to Panama to become a yoga teacher. And then I then gave it to Danielle, who's also gonna become a yoga teacher. So you never know. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, you knew that. Yes, 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 reverse that warrior girl, get it. You knew that, you knew that. You never know like what impact your life is gonna make, like a huge ripple effect in. And that's true of this person here. His name is Brian Ellison. And we've been asking community members, because I uniquely believe that there are just as many sermons in the room as there are people. Like, we create a cult of personality where only one person can leverage the opportunity to share wisdom with a crowd of people. But don't you know that there is like a truth to be communicated in every single person's story? Everybody has at least one good sermon in them, you know what I mean? One good talk in them because of how God has brought them through and to one thing or another. And this is Brian's lesson. This is the one lesson there's no turning back from. We started a series in my house immediately after church over food. We're gonna be having a thought leadership and food and fellowship. And Raven, is Raven here? Yes. Raven is going to be our thought leader at my table, and we're gonna have a great time. But this is Brian's. Every second and third Sunday. Oh, it's not this week? It's not this week? Oh, good, because my house is not 100% clean. Praise God. Thank you! This is Brian's sermon. This is the sermon of his life. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Your purpose resides on the other side of your fear. Does this look like a person who's rooted in fear, bound by fear? This dude, like to his core, is fearless. And the first time I experienced his fearlessness was in the context of our restaurant. And for me, he instantly became a brother. And in a weird way, I know this is gonna sound weird, bro, but also like a mother for me. I wouldn't say like a father, but the way that you have intimated creativity in my life feels much like, much more like a maternal gift that you have to like touch people and for them to give birth to their dreams. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Hey, Anna. How are you? Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One of the most prolific things Jesus has ever said, but also the most gangster. Oh my God, right? Let's begin with verse 19. Now, Jesus' mother and brother, his mother and his what?
Brother.
His mama. Let's replace that. Now, Jesus' mama and his brother came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. So what's next? They're on the list, obviously, right? Like, mama's on the list with a plus one for the brother. You know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to be able to get in. Hear Jesus' response. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. He was like, anyone is my mother who puts God's word into practice. Anyone is my brother who puts God's word into practice. Then he did something with it. Verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side of the what? Dear God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for lasts. Lord, there is never a last in your eternal kingdom. Every last is always a first for something else. When we end well, Lord, I thank you for the gift that you've given me to be able to lead this community clumsily, compassionately, whimsically, willfully. Lord, I could have messed this thing up so many times, but by your grace, you held us together. So Lord, in this time, let it not be my words, but your words through me. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hear God's word Jesus said, if you hear God's word and if you put it into action. If you hear God's word and if you put it into action. Welcome to the only culinary art gallery in the world where we feature the work of seven food artists who right now don't have the overhead for their own restaurants. However, out of our restaurant, we incubate their dreams of becoming restaurateurs. Which dream would you like to consume today? Those were the words that everybody heard when they walked through the door of our restaurant that came from our church. Y'all remember we turned our church into a restaurant? Y'all remember that e-gallery?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all remember the e-gallery, baby? Boom, it was so live. These culinary artists who did not have money for their own restaurants, we, in our infinite wisdom and foolishness, both at the same time, decided that we would take our really good thing of a worship congregation that was popping off at the El Dorado Ballroom and transform it into something that ultimately led to a restaurant. We wanted to put God's word into what? Put God's word into what?
Action.
Put God's word into
action.
We decided that we would stop talking about Jesus's message and do something for other people to talk about it, so that we would be silent evangelists in the work that we were doing to help curate other people's dreams. This is where we met Brian. And I remember Brian walked through the door and he introduced himself he walked in and did not order what he said. I was like, yeah, welcome to the only culinary, I got all that stuff. He was like, have you ever heard of Pluto Lens? I was like, what? I was like, oh, he's one of the special members of our community. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right. I was like, no, I haven't. He's like, he's a dope, dope rapper. He's like, man, he has this music video he just shot. He's super duper dope. He's like, you gotta check him out. I was like, yeah, man, sounds cool. I'll check him out. Later on, I checked him out and it was him. I was like, this boy know how to promote his stuff. As we continue to learn more about Brian, we recognize that Brian had a unique gift as a photographer. And his photography moved people. Like, the images did not move, but they moved you when you saw them. Brian now has a house up at Project Row House, but you never would have imagined he would get to that point because of his fears. We would always be like, B, you got to have a show. B, people have to see your work. It's so amazing. He'd be like, man, I don't know if I'm good enough. Man, I don't know if I really have what it takes to be on the level that a lot of the people that we knew, who are a lot of great artists, are on. But we encouraged him. And Brian, I want to stand before you and let you know that you have incarnated what you said. You have gone to the other side of your fears and you have found great success. And there will be many more oceans for you to boat through for you to get to God's blessing. But celebrate this victory now. Would you join me in celebrating Brian for his courage? It was also at the e-gallery that I met this one dude who was a highly functioning autistic little boy at the time. And he came into the restaurant, and the restaurant was really busy that day. He, his sister, and his mom came into the restaurant, and because he's a highly functioning autistic person, he was creating a bit of a ruckus, to be honest with you. He was talking loud, and he was kind of getting angry because something wasn't right about the position of the table. And so I gently came over thinking that like they were getting into an argument, and I put my hand, I did the old preachers, you know, you put your hand on the small of their back. I put my hand on the small of his back and I said, is there anything I can do to help? And he looked at me and he said, who are you? I said, my name is Marlon. I make coffee here. And he was like, yeah, but there's something different about you. He's like, what do you want with me? I was like, I just want to be your friend. He was like, okay, then we'll be friends forever. And then his mom and his sister start crying. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, yeah, he doesn't make friends. Oh, yeah. He doesn't believe in friendship. They introduced themselves. We laughed. We talked. They came to the restaurant often. His name was Sammy. Fast forward, that was 2010, I guess, 2011. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I was teaching a yoga class. And after the class, I see Sammy's sister. I'm like, yo, what's going on? How's my boy doing? She's like, he's doing really well. He's an artist now, and he's doing art exhibitions. And she was like, in fact, he's been talking about you ever since the restaurant shut down and we've been looking for you. She said, so I heard that you were a teacher here at Big. She said, so I decided to stalk you and find your class. She said, I have something for you that Sammy drew a long time ago and he wants you to have it. I was like, oh, great. She was like, so can I go to the car and give it to you? She's like, I know it's weird because we really didn't know each other that well. I was like, girl, we're friends. She came back and she brought me this. Sammy made like a cartoon character for me. Oh, sorry. Sammy made a cartoon character for me. Sammy remembered that I told him what my name means. My name Marlon means wild little raven. Are you surprised?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Sammy made this cartoon and he of course pointed to Raven and then listen to the caption, the king of good citizenship and proper conduct and a good friend of mine I respect. Marlon's spirit animal. And then he was kind enough out of the abundance of spirit animals to make like a whole bunch of other spirit animals. And so, animal characters of my art, which do you like? So then there's Arnie, and then there is Mazzy, the mouse, Arnie, the hamster king. There's Ed, the eel. Ed is my favorite, even though Ed looks a little suspect. And then there's Quanti, the, can anybody pronounce that? What is that? Xenopeltis? What is a Xenopeltis? Okay, the Unicolor Queen, that's my second favorite. And then there is Al, the flying ant. And then there is Elno, the elephant. Then there's Peyton, the parrot. Then there's Tarnell, the turtle. And then there's Catcher. Yo, Tarnell. What? You don't talk to Tarnell. Tarnell seems like he's talking to third person. You don't talk to Tarnell like that. Which animal best describes who you need to be when fear strikes? I also forgot to answer a question no one audibly asked. So what's happening with Marlon and Danielle? Are Marlon and Danielle still gonna be around? Of course you guys know, first of all, Danielle killed it last night as the host of You Met Me at Black. Killed it. Danielle and I are still gonna be on staff. We're creative support for Tia. And y'all know Danielle's about to just blow up. She's about to just be the next. No, you're not gonna be the next nobody. You're gonna be the first you. You're gonna be the first you as a writer and a communicator. Yeah, all the good stuff. All right, so let's roll. The opposite of fear is creation. When fear strikes, your inclination should be to lean into what is there to create out of what I'm afraid of. Yeah. The opposite of fear is creation. You know, for every conceptual physics teaches us that without friction, there's no movement, meaning without the friction that needs against the tire as it moves on the asphalt, there would be no moving cars. You need friction to get to where you're going in the city, and guess what? You need friction to get to where you're going in life. You need those moments where you're in between what you love and what you fear, and you have to press through what you fear to bring to life what you love, and that brings about movement, because without friction, there is no what? Movement. And when the friction between your fear and your love strikes, the first thing you need to say is that God's trying to create something here out of my fear. God has not given you an opportunity to exist in this realm of eternal life for you to lose, but for you to gain and to gain momentum. This is a work of art that B has up. Is it still up or did they take it down?
It's still up.
Where is it, bro? So these are like faces of people. I don't know if you know, but the stars are faces of people. Oh, you gotta go. Brian has found a way to turn the thing that he fears into the thing that he'll use to create, because creation is the antithesis or the antidote to fear. Here's a question. What blocks creation? What blocks creation? Comfort, criticism, and comparison. All three of these C's will mess up what you're trying to create. All of them. Jesus did not allow any of these three C's to keep him from going to the other side. Even when the comfort of his mama, y'all know, I don't know about y'all, but that, sometimes I just need to hear my mama just say anything. Yeah. It's just comforting, you know what I mean? I don't know about you, but you know, I like to have, I'm sure Jesus wanted his brothers around so that he can compare himself to them like, yeah, y'all didn't think I was gonna make it, you know what I'm saying? Now look at your boy's speaking to thousands of people, you know what I mean? Like being critical of his brothers, right? And also like comparison. Like Jesus had all of these things that he could have had access to, but he chose to deny those things and to focus on what he was creating in life and not the comfort of the lives around him, right? Comfort. Comfort is fear's prettiest costume. It's so pretty. Comfort is a way for us to feel like it's okay to be stagnant. But if you are stagnant, you will be like a stank, dank pond infested with mosquitoes. And you'll suck the life out of the people who find themselves to you. But when you become the kind of person who focuses more on what you are creating than you are focused on what you are afraid of, you move like a fresh spring that picks up momentum and provides life for all of the village. The word of God says, "The Lord is with me." Let's read this together. Ready? Read. For the first time ever, I was afraid. I wasn't afraid, and she was. The last surgery that Tasha had. I was like, Tasha called me, and she said, now, during the other moments in her journey, she wouldn't call a brother. You would not. You would call like 3 weeks after you've been in a...
Woosa.
If I got sick and I knew I was gonna be okay, I would wait till I was okay, then I would call Harley. Not for surgery.
Look. She look guilty, don't she? But people gotta I done that. But this time, she was scared and I was at ease. I was like, baby boom. I knew that this was true. I knew that it was true that there was nothing that any thing in this world could do to resist the movement and the possibility of your life. I knew that you would live and that you would not die. Why? Because I know that this girl has so much more to create. Poetry for me is the clear expression of mixed feelings. That's what Christian Wiman said. And so I want to share a poem with you, and y'all know y'all like, this boy getting Baptist preacher on his last sermon. But this poem is called The Blessing of the Old Woman, the Tulip, and the Dog. To be blessed, said the old woman, is to live and work so hard that God's love washes right through you like milk through a cow. To be blessed, said the old woman, is to live and work so hard, God's love washes right through you like milk through a cow. To be blessed, said the dark red tulip, is to knock their eyes out with the slug of lust implied by your upended skirt. Slug just like, ooh, that's so sexy. Slug on a tulip. To be blessed, said the dog, is to have just one pinch of God inside you, and all the other dogs can smell it. I want to be who I'm supposed to be so that the pinch of God that's in me can be smelled by other people, and where I go, where I need people to follow, they follow. Are you being responsible over your pinch, or has comfort pinched it out of you? What fear is your comfort costuming? Oftentimes we lash out, not in ways that are true to how we really feel, but like they kind of get distorted. It's like if you tell, have you ever told a friend one thing and by the time it got to another person, it was totally different,
yeah.
Right? That's because sometimes like our fears get lost in translation, and really we're afraid, but really we say we just want to be cool. So like you do, the reason why you don't understand this question, because you don't care about comfort when it comes to like being with people and being present with people. Like you walk up to people and hug them, and then you force them to answer the question, how are you doing? Tashi, that's the kind of person you are, you know what I mean? So you never allow comfort to keep, Tashi's the kind of kid to where like, if you hang out with him long enough, you think he's trying to pull grown women. I was in line, this was 3 years ago. Am I lying? It's 3 years ago, we were somewhere, and Tashi leaned into this lady who was at the counter. He said, you are so beautiful. Huh? No, he's just fearlessly showing his appreciation. Tashi, stand up, stand up, stand up. So let me tell you this. The reason you probably don't fully understand this is because you don't let comfort, any comfort, get in the way of your fears. You face your fears of reaching out to new people and sharing with people openly and honestly. But not all of us are like that, Tashi. Like some of us started off the way that you are, but life got in the way of our true desires. So to answer your question, reason why he didn't understand it because he's an alien to this concept. Yeah, so let's let him stay there for a little bit, unable to truly understand this concept. Let's just let him stay there a little bit, and let's pray that life will never allow you to answer this question. It'll limit his superpower. Poetry is the most loyal expressions of art. Poetry is so loyal. Oh. Lucille Clifton is an African-American woman, and she's an older woman, but she's making poetry now that's like transforming the poetry scene. She says this, why? Hag writing. She says, why is what I ask myself. Maybe it's the African in me still trying to get home after all these years. But when I wake to the heat of morning, galloping down the highway of my life, something hopeful rises in me, rises and runs me out into the road. I lob my fierce, high-thighed self over the rump of the day, and honey, I ride. Meaning, she walks up to the bike, she throws her thigh over that bike, and she rides. We need to ride into our destiny by throwing our thighs over anything that would impede you from moving into what's next for your life, including comfort. Comfort is the enemy of creativity. In any given moment, when you are more interested in the luxury of comfort, that's the moment that you are resistant to the love of God. Comparison is the fear I don't have a destiny. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. You, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. This is Brian's house at Project Grow House. And the house, before you even walk into it, let's read it together. Ready? Read. There's no reason to be afraid because your destiny is yours and no one else's. There's no one else born on earth like you. Like the harmony and the choreography of the DNA that makes up who you are, the cells that came together throughout the span of human history, before the span of human history, all of the molecular structures that conspired to come together to be the symphony that is God's destiny in you, can't nobody stop that thing. Come back to your spirit animal and ask yourself, can your spirit animal be compared to any of the others? Like me, I like Al the Flying Ant too. Can't nobody mess with Al the Flying Ant. You just can't catch him. Who you are at your core is incomparable. Criticism. I want to say this too. Sometimes we critique other people's opportunity because we are afraid that we don't have one of our own. Critiquing someone else's opportunity will not get you to yours any quicker. Critiquing someone else's opportunity distances you from your own sense of accomplishment. Criticism is the fear I can't handle my own pain. So we think criticism is about the other person, but really it's displacement. We're displacing our inability to process our own pain onto someone else's problem or impossibility. Criticizing someone else is the fear I will never create anything for myself. The more you criticize other people and you lend your creative juices to what you're critiquing, the less you create for yourself. You can't create all that God has for you and critique anything about anyone else's work, except for you, bro. Criticism is your work. He's a writer, a critic, a thespian critic, right? But if you take one iota of a millisecond to critique someone else, you limit all of the infinite possibility of what you can create for yourself. You have to ask yourself, what do I want more, to critique that person or to create what's mine? Our torments can become our elements. Pain can be used as the tool that you shape your truest passion. So don't resist the pain. Come into True North and welcome the pain. Say, pain, there's something I need from you so that I can shape what's next in my life. Come. The more you resist pain, it's sort of like trying to fix a tire without a tire iron. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to move and get somewhere in life and you get a flat tire called pain. You need to welcome pain because pain is the tire iron, that wrench that you need to get the old tire off, put the new tire on, and to get back to moving. I ain't telling your business, and life for Brian ain't been no crystal staircase, right? He's been met with many challenges. I can say this, because it was in the film that we did about you. Brian's parents both went to the penitentiary. He lived with his grandmother, and in the process of his parents going to the good people, but they just made some poor decisions. And in the process of them going to the penitentiary, all of Brian's peers, their goal was just to make it to be alive until they were 18. But Brian had the gumption to decide that he was going to go to college and graduate. And he still, despite all of the pain that he endured, still remains playful. Y'all see Brian, he like a big dude like Brian, like frolicking the way he be frolicking and dancing the way he be dancing. He's light on his feet despite the heaviness that's been on his life. We have to be willing to receive the pain that comes our way, process it through the promise that God has for our lives, right? And then let the pain go so that we can make ourselves available to the possibility. Surely, let's read this together. Ready? Read. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The word salvation comes from a root word, soteria, which means whole. So salvation is not like entrapment, you know what I'm saying? Like Jesus got me and I'm stuck, you know what I'm saying? Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I ever did, right? And the last thing I'll ever do. No, when you receive salvation, you receive the desire to integrate your mind, body, and spirit. Salvation is simply an invitation to integrate who your mind is with your body and with your spirit. It's alignment is what salvation is. God sent his son to live on earth to show us as an example of what it could be to live in True North. Jesus walked around in True North, y'all, healing people left and right. So when it comes to salvation that God has for you to resist the fear, God wants you to know that all you have to do is to seek to do the work to be whole, and God will take care of the rest. Yeah. Do your work. If you know that there's an area in your life that you are resisting change in, do the work to let that change happen, because until you do that work, you won't be whole. And no matter how saved you say you are, you won't really feel salvation. What word describes your destiny? fear. The antidote to fear is creation. When you sense fear coming, you have to know that you have been just invited into a space where you can create, where you can multiply, where you can maximize. Fear is not a reason to deconstruct. Fear is motivation to create. Well, what limits creation? Comfort limits creation. Criticism limits creation. And comparison limits creation. And the thing that we have to do is to get in touch with our pain enough to where we know that pain is the tool that shapes our service to the world. And we root ourselves in that one word that represents our destiny. I want you for our time of altar call to bring two things to the altar. I want you to bring, number one, your greatest fear, and number two, the word that describes your destiny. So when I got back from yoga teacher training, I said to myself, self, you're going to be both the pastor of the Awakenings Movement and you're going to be a yoga teacher. Because I just thought that I was going to teach yoga at Crumville on Thursday nights. Speaking of which, every Thursday night until the end of the year, we're doing a yoga practice that's called Period New Paragraph, that's inviting you guys to use yoga to put an end to this year and to start the new paragraph of new possibility for next year. And so every week I'm gonna have different people come and to share a 7-minute talk. Danielle's gonna do a 7-minute talk about whatever it is that she's gonna talk about. My teacher Joshua, this coming week, I wanna talk to you about, we're gonna swap. Can I swap you and Joshua?
Yeah.
Thank you. Joshua's gonna come this coming Thursday and he's gonna lead us in this breath practice that's gonna change your life. I'm sorry, I went to trap yoga the other day. It was so confusing. I was like, I was confused. I was throwed off. What time? Oh, it's gonna be at 6:30. Joshua's gonna begin at 6:30 with the practice. And I've invited Joshua. Joshua and I are gonna partner with other people. And our goal is to make it so that we use the yoga practice and reflection tools to emancipate black people. What does that mean? That means that the vestiges of slavery have taught black people in particular that they belong to somebody else. And so it's really hard for us to take ownership of our own bodies and ownership of our own lives because we have an indigenous memory that tells us that we are slaves. And so we think that we are slaves to life. Life is so hard. I ain't gonna never come out. That's just your slave mentality. Teaching that you are slave to the conditions, right? And so yoga is a way to get on your mat and to create, as one of the students called, a vessel of bliss. You can create your own space. You can have an emancipation proclamation. What I like to do before I practice is I like to touch the edges of my mat. And I say, this is my space for the next 60 minutes. And I'm going to, on this space, get to know this space for the next 60 minutes. And so he's going to engage us in some practices of breath so that when you feel like life has you trapped, the worst feeling in the world is to feel like you don't have a choice. That's when you're just dead. He's going to give us a breath practice that will engage the mind so that you know the multiple options for the choices that you can make. And so anyway, when I got back, I said to myself, I'm going to teach yoga at Crumville because I'm going to audition to teach at Big Yoga, like the studio, the second largest studio in the city of Houston. But I'm not really banking on that. What I'm banking on is working. Raven's also gonna do a 7-minute talk as well. I'm banking on, you know, going into the community to set, you know, black people free so that they can really get into their bodies and take ownership of their bodies and no longer be slaves to the social constructs of slavery that still exist, right? But then my teacher invited me to teach one class. I was like, okay, that's cool. I got one class. We're going to keep it nice. We're going to keep it light. Then the other day, she came. She said, hey, we want to bring you on staff. We want to give you three classes. There are only three people who have three classes at Big Yoga. One is Nancy, the owner of the studio. The other is a community member of ours, Juan Valentine. And now me, the newest yoga teacher in the city. No. So I know you just gotta. I'm sorry, that's worship. That's worship. I'm African, baby boom. That's worship. Sarah King got it in her too. Sarah King be, it's that King in her name. That's it. That King counters your culture, baby. Anyway, she said, the only thing is we need you to really meditate, because the class that we want to give you is the second largest class of the Memorial campus for the entire week. She said, and the class begins at 10 a.m. I was like, oh, I can do that. She said, on Sunday. I was like, oh, yeah. It was in that moment I had to choose. I'm going as a missionary to Big Yoga. I'm being sent by you guys to connect with people and to get them into their bodies as an act of worship. So I have not left ministry. Ministry has just changed for me, right? Still gonna be on staff, still gonna rock with y'all. Two things you're gonna bring. You're gonna bring what you are afraid of, and you're gonna bring your destiny. But before you do, Pastor Tia, would you please come? This is twofold. This is a blessing for you and also a way for me to get out of doing the offering. You're gonna have to do it after we do this. So if there's anyone here who's heard a word or seen an example of anything that's blessed you in the life of Tia, would you please come? And would you touch her or touch somebody who's touching her?
Love you, Tia.
So in the first, oh yeah, come on, keep coming. Dang, Art, I see you, man. You leaning up, brother. I didn't know who he was. I see you, man. So in the first church, not in this thing that has evolved to become this monster of commercialization that many people call the church, bound by four walls, but in the first church that Jesus commissioned, the church that was never supposed to be bound, the church that was supposed to be boundless into eternity, in that church, when a spiritual leader would be raised up, that spiritual leader would not just be responsible for what they said to people, the way that we have commercialized the spoken word, but by how they embodied God's word, which is why Jesus came to be an embodiment. He became everything God wanted us to say to him. So I'm not just blessing Tia to stand up here and to talk to y'all. There's going to be a new embodiment of who she is after this moment. In fact, she's going to look different, y'all. I truly believe the countenance of who she is will be different. So with that said, Tia, I want you to hear me say that with this new responsibility of embodiment, you were born for it. When you came out of the matrix of your mama's womb, God knew this day would come. And through the ebbs and the flows of every failure, of every impossible moment, all of that crap God wants to now use to fertilize your future. Dear God, our Father and Mother and Brother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your way of doing things come now in Tia as it is in heaven. Make her the embodiment of the spiritual leader we call pastor to guide us with wisdom and grace, with compassion and clarity. Give her the courage to not believe she has to be perfect but simply willing to be perfected by you. A perfection that will not end. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are blowing through her and the wind chimes of every moment of her life will sing a new song unto you. God, I thank you that she will never allow fear to completely consume her. She will resist the inertia of comfort. She will deny the seduction of criticism, and she will move through the gravity of comparison. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that she is not just our preacher, she is an embodiment of our leadership. And Lord, I thank you that she's a woman. Oh, thank you, God. For what's next for us, Lord God, is for something to be birthed out of this movement. Yes. That could never have been birthed by anybody but this woman. So Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that your kingdom come and that your will be done in her leadership. It's in Christ's name. That with the authority invested in me by the state of Texas, and with the privilege of the authority given to me by Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you one with your ministry.